Good morning. This morning is a wonderful morning. This is the day that we take every year and we celebrate our Lord and Savior. We do that as Christians every day. We come and meet a couple of times a week, give honor and praise to our Savior, but this day we commemorate what Jesus has done. He has risen from the grave. He was laid in a tomb for 3 days. Because he suffered and died on a Roman cross. The Son of God, the Son of Man, who lived a perfect life, no sin was found in him, yet the sin of the world was placed on him. He had done nothing wrong. He healed the sick. He restored sight to the blind. He cast out demons, and he preached the message of the kingdom of heaven, the message of salvation for those who would repent and believe on him, that he would give them eternal life. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by the power of his word. Him, he came into his creation, the one who brought everything into existence. Colossians 1:16 tells us, for by him all things were created, and in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and all things were created for him. He came into his creation, born of a virgin. The angels celebrated his arrival. Why? Why did he do that? Why did he come? Why is the one who knew no sin, why did he become sin for us? He did it because there was no other way. He did it because you're a sinner. He did it because I'm a sinner. He did it so that we would have a defense that would stand up in court. See, what you may not know is that you have a subpoena to appear in court. There's a case against you. And you're going to need a defense attorney. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. I'll be reading out of the ESV this morning, Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? It reads this way, and you who were dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them and him. Let's pray. Father, we want to start out by saying thank you. Thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. Father, I ask that this day be different than any other. That you would move mightily by your Spirit on both the hearer and on me, the speaker. Not only in this church, Lord, but in all gospel-preaching, Bible-believing churches. Do a work this day in the Spirit that will last throughout eternity. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is The Verdict of the Cross. Matthew 27, starting at verse 1, says, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Jumping down to verse 11, it says, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus was willing to stand on trial before men, the very creator of the universe, because he knew that one day that you and I would stand on trial before all of heaven. Setting is courtroom of heaven. Imagine this scene. Court is in session. The atmosphere is thick with silence. The throne is set high and radiant. Pure justice, holy light. This is no earthly courtroom. This is heaven's throne room. The judge is not someone in a robe, but the sovereign Lord himself. Righteous, just, eternal, and all-knowing, he knows everything. And you are the defendant. This is not just some made-up scenario. This is a future event. This will take place. Your file is open, nothing hidden. There's no secrets in this courtroom. Every word you've ever said, every thought you've ever had, every motive, every action is laid bare. The charges are true, every single one of them. The law has been broken. God's standard is perfection. And not even on your best day have you met that mark. And then the pronouncement comes, and you who were dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you who was dead, not wounded, not weak, dead, spiritually lifeless, unresponsive, incapable of defending yourself, as hard as you've tried, the law doesn't bend for good intentions. The judge doesn't grade on a curve. You're guilty, and you know it. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? You're standing there. The judge, guilty. But then comes the plot twist. The judge is your defense attorney. He comes down off of his throne. Lawyer in a three-piece suit, but as a savior with scars. The courtroom turns, the atmosphere shifts. He doesn't speak on your behalf with mere words. He presents evidence. Oh, no, not an evidence of your goodness. He presents the cross. He holds up his nail-pierced hands. His scars are his credentials. His blood is his argument. The cross is his closing statement. Then he moves to the evidence against you, your sin, your shame, your guilt, and he takes all of it, every single charge, every page, every stain, and he nails it to the wood where he himself was nailed. The text tells us he made us alive with him. He forgave us all our transgressions, all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This is what he set aside and nailed to the cross. What does that mean? It means the work is finished. It's finished. The work is not in progress. The forgiveness is not partial. There's not going to be an appeal. It's finished. The cross is not a symbol of defeat. It's a symbol of finality. When Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," the gavel of heaven fell. Sin paid in full. Guilt erased. Justice satisfied. Mercy unleashed, grace opened wide. when he rose 3 days later, it was not just to prove he was alive, but it was to declare that the payment was accepted. The text tells us he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. You got to know this. The enemy has weapons that he was using on you. Earlier in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." This is a warning for believers to stay alert so that they aren't taken captive and spiritually enslaved by deceptive philosophies. Those things that sound wise, but they're empty. They're actually not only empty, they're misleading. They will take you off of the narrow road. These teachings are rooted in human tradition. They're influenced by powers and principalities. They're influenced by evil forces in the world rather than Christ himself. Paul's message is clear. Anything that draws us away from the supremacy of Christ and Christ's sufficiency, the only way to heaven is through him. Anything that draws you away from that truth is demonic. It is a weapon that is being used against you. It doesn't matter how intellectual you are or how spiritual you think. If it's leading you away from Christ, it's a trap. Don't forget, you will one day appear in that heavenly court. But Jesus stripped him, the enemy, from his power at the cross. What has he given the believer? He has given the believer, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit. He has given the believer his word. He has given the believer his church. Oh, you need all of those things. You could sit there and think, well, I have my own time with the Lord. I read my Bible every once in a while, and I know what I'm doing, and actually the pastor don't know as much as he thinks he knows. No, God is the one who sent the church to be an embassy from heaven filled with his ambassadors. You need the Holy Spirit, you need the Word of God, and you need the church. This is what keeps you from being deceived by the devil. Because the devil is looking to deceive you. The world is helping him. And we even find ourselves deceiving ourselves. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3 says, "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love." This is the church he's talking about. To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. Are you getting this? Which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with possible arguments. It's easy to be deceived. The world is deceived. This is where truth is found. He disarmed the rulers. He disarmed the authorities. And he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The first thing you need to know is that you're ill-equipped to stand before that judge. You need a savior. You need a defense. The enemy has accusations that he has levied against you. You can come on up, worship team. The enemy, the accuser, stood tall with the record in his hand, your record of the things that he prompted you to do and that he used cohorts to prompt you to do, and you fell into those traps and you really did it. So when he's accusing you, he's not lying. That's the time he don't lie. No, he lied to you, you did it, and then he goes and tells the truth about you. So he stood tall with that record in his hand. He gloated. But now, because of what Christ has done, he's been stripped of any power against you. He's been humiliated. He's been silenced. He has no more evidence. The files have been burned. The charges have been nailed to the cross. The blood of Jesus is the ink that stamped your verdict. Not guilty. But now we need to speak soberly. Because this courtroom is going to play out for every single person. Not one is going to say, I didn't get the subpoena. No. It's accounted unto a man once to live, and then the judgment. Don't be a woman in here saying, whoo, he said a man. No, mankind. This is going to play out for everyone, and there's only going to be two possible outcomes. Just two. We laid out one. Some will stand with Christ as their defense. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. They will walk out free. They will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They will be clothed with his righteousness. Their charges will be canceled forever. But others will stand alone. No advocate, no savior, no substitute, no friend. Alone before the judge, who is the king of the world. The charges are going to be perfectly intact. Their record untouched. And for them, the verdict will not be joy. Our king, the judge, is just. And they will receive justice. The righteous judgment for their offense. That's the person that pushed Jesus' hand away every time that he extended it to him on earth. Maybe they thought, I'll do it later. I'm too busy. God, you're too restrictive. Or maybe what I thought, your people are weird. I don't want nothing to do with the church. Maybe they are thinking, I just don't believe you. I want to do what I want to do. The cross they rejected becomes the witness against them. The grace they ignored becomes their condemnation. Hear this, friends. You do not know when that day is coming. When you're going to receive that subpoena. Life is a vapor, the Bible tells us. Today, God offers mercy, his mercy, calling you to accept the free gift of his grace. Today, we stand in the shadows of an empty cross and an empty tomb. The choice is clear. Will you face the judge with Jesus as your defender, or face him with only your own record in your hand? The courtroom is real. The trial is coming. But the good news that we celebrate this day is that you don't have to stand alone. You don't have to be found guilty, although we're all guilty. Some have been forgiven. You don't have to carry the shame you've been carrying anymore. Jesus takes all of that. His work is finished. He paid the debt. He rose in victory. And today, even right now, you can stand in freedom of the final verdict. Forgiven. Redeemed, justified, forever free. The gavel has fallen. The court has been adjourned. The work is finished. He is risen and the case is closed. This is not a message to scare you. It's not a message to pull at your heartstrings. Salvation comes from the hearing of the word and the move of the Spirit. That is a work by God. What I want to say to you today, that if God has moved on your heart by the power of the Spirit, by the truth of His word, if you are saying to yourself, I must be saved, today is the acceptable day of the Lord. Tomorrow very well may be too late. After we close, I'll be here with the other elders. If that's you, don't leave this place without coming over to us. Let us pray with you. Let's talk for a few minutes. Eternity hangs in the balance. Would you stay in church? Word of God says, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We thank you for this time in your house. We thank you what this day means to us. We thank you as born again believers. We celebrate your resurrection every single day. We are your people that are filled with your Spirit, about your business, that love you because you first loved us. Lord, bless our time with our family. Lord, we thank you for our church family. Lord, we thank you that you are changing us, that you are bringing us from glory to glory, that we're going to stand in your presence one day, not those that would have their head down low, but because you are the lifter of our heads, we will walk into that throne room with one statement. I've been redeemed by the Lord. He has forgiven me my trespasses. He's died in my stead. Thank you, Lord. And until then, on this side of eternity, we have this confidence that he who started a good work in me will bring it to conclusion in the day of Christ Jesus. God bless you, saints. He's completing the work. He's doing the work in his people and in his church.